Well, this is now the third of my four messages in the Advent series of sermons, Bold Beginnings. And this morning I want to share with you a message that I've entitled, Reclaiming Joy in a Melancholy World. There's the story of a young boy who was visiting his grandfather's farm out in the country. And while this young lad was walking around the farm, he noticed the chickens. They were scratching and playing around in the farmyard, and the little boy said, "They ain't got it." And then next he saw a colt in the field playing and kicking up its heels, to which he replied, "He ain't got it." And then after examining all the animals on his grandpa's farm and seeing that none of them had it, this boy finally found an old donkey there in the barn. When he saw the donkey's long, frowning face and the way that the donkey just stood there rather sullenly, then he screamed for his grandfather, "Grandfather, grandfather, come quick, I found it, I found it." And his grandfather ran to the barn and opened the door and he said, "What? What is it that you have found?" And he said, "Papa, I have found an animal that has the same kind of religion as you do." Think about it, it's coming, it'll get to you. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 is perhaps one of my favorite passages of Scripture that we read and celebrate at the Advent and Christmas season, because Advent moves us from the long frown of this tired old world to the reverent wonder of God's eternal glory. That said, there can be no doubt that the default position of the world is darkness. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2 proclaims, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." If there was ever a time of darkness in our world, this is it. Recently, I have given you innumerable examples of the present darkness and the clear dangers that are currently gripping our world and destroying our nation from both within and from without. And you will, by the way, not want to miss my his talk, the Hope, Inspiration, and Sacred talk that I'm going to give in March on Millennial Marker Methodology, which basically looks at the signs that are occurring in the heavens and the events that are transpiring, taking place on the earth, and marrying that up with Holy Scripture to see how it is that we can discern the signs of the times and the Lord's coming again. So don't miss that in March. Indeed, humanity seems to be turning in on itself in curvatus in se. It was perhaps St. Augustine, that great saint of the church, who coined the phrase in curvatus in se. Martin Luther, the great Protestant reformer, expounded on this in his lectures on Romans and described this state as, quote, "Our nature, by the corruption of the first sin, being so deeply curved in upon itself that it not only bends the best gifts of God towards itself and fails to realize that it so wickedly, curvedly, and viciously seeks all things for itself. Its own sake, the self." So, where does this leave us? It leaves us in a place of sadness, for you see, a world without Jesus is a sad world. But I have good news for you this morning, my friends. Oh, I do. You see, Christianity is the only world religion that has joy woven into and shot right into its beginnings. Amazing. "For in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light." It's true. The Bible does not shy away from the slaughter of the innocents at the hands of jealous Herod. It's true, Mary endured the pain of childbirth. It's true, Joseph really had to rethink his relationship with Mary, his now pregnant virgin bride-to-be. But despite all these things, God's Word does not relent from its message of deep, abiding joy. As Psalm chapter 30 and verse 5 declares, "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning." An army chaplain had a sign on his door that said, "If you have troubles, come on in and tell me about them. If you don't have troubles, come on in and tell me how you do it." And so this morning, I want to quickly share with you several ways in which we might reclaim joy, our joy, in what is a rather melancholy world. And the first way we can reclaim joy is to follow God's lead. Matthew 2 relates to us that the wise men who came from the east were following a star, and they followed it as far as Jerusalem. Yes, then it moved on from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. The journey back to joy requires this singular belief. God is going to show you and I the way to belief. Amen? You see, the wise men, what I believe is they had no joy in their own homeland. What greater motivation could there be to look with longing for that star to guide them to joy? They certainly did not have the joy that comes with beholding the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And sadness, whatever package that it's wrapped in, is not God's will for you, for me, or for all of humanity. The Scriptures are just downright audacious. True joy is rooted in none other than finding His Son, our Savior, Jesus. That's the proclamation. In Matthew 2, God gives to the wise men a star. It was the ultimate GPS tracking system, if you will. Now, you and I both know that according to the laws of physics, stars, well, generally, they don't move. They're fixed in their place. But this was no ordinary star. And we worship no ordinary God. This is a star that operates outside of the confines of the natural laws of physics. And isn't that how God always works? Outside of all of that which seems to make sense to our rational minds? Oh yeah. Joy is not bound by the laws of physics. Finding the babe of Bethlehem is not dependent upon that which seems to make sense to our minds, and so we are open to God's parallel universe, what the early Celtic Christians called the thin gossamer veil, that enables us to believe that although we can't see it, heaven is closely at work all around us. Did you see heaven at work as little baby Penelope was baptized this morning? I did. I saw heaven at work, my friends. This star, it is God's personal invitation to you and to me. And so we, like the wise men, we follow God's lead and we do it boldly. Could you imagine for a moment if those wise men did not follow? This star said to the wise men, "Come on, pack up your belongings. We are leaving the darkness behind." Say with me this morning, "I'm leaving the darkness behind. I'm leaving the darkness behind." Hallelujah. We're heading out the door on an exciting journey and adventure towards joy. And joy is never fixed or stationary. It is never static, because true joy can never be contained. It is contagious. There is a caveat, however, to reclaiming joy, and it's this. As you follow God's guidance and His signs, they are all given to lead you not to a place, even though the scriptural record bears out these important places of Jerusalem and Bethlehem, not to a place, but to a person. To a person. Joy isn't found in Bethlehem as much as it is found in the babe of Bethlehem. We never find joy in a place, a political position, or a philosophy. It stands then that if you haven't found joy, you haven't found Jesus. Amen? Amen. As the saying goes, wise men and women and children still seek Him. I can remember a wonderful moment of joy in my own life. It was when Brittany was little, and it was my weekly ritual with her to take her to her swimming lesson in the town that was adjacent to where we lived back in Great Britain. And so we had our swim lesson, and then, as was our favorite thing to do, we would go upstairs to the cafe, and we would eat sausage, beans, and chips. And we used to love eating those sausage, beans, and chips. That was just the highlight of the whole week. At least it was for me. You'll have to ask Brittany what her highlight was. I don't know. But anyway, on the journey home from our swimming lessons, the used car that I had... It broke down by the side, just off the, well, what they call the motorway, our interstate, just broke down. The engine gave up the ghost, you know. I opened the hood, what you call the bonnet, opened the bonnet up, and, all the, smoke is just pouring out of the engine compartment. And so I knew we weren't going anywhere in that car, and so I got Brittany out of her little child seat, and then, lo and behold, just to add more fun to the afternoon, it started, as is in the custom of England, it started to rain, it started to pour, and we were about 2 or 3 miles away from the house, and so I unstrapped Brittany from her car seat in the back, and, I propped her up on my shoulders because I knew it was going to be a long walk, and this poor little mite wouldn't be able to walk that kind of distance. Up on her shoulder, on my shoulders, she went, put the little hoodie over her head, put my little hood over my head, and there we started down the, what we call the sidewalk here, the pathway, started down the pathway in the pouring rain, and in the middle of that pouring rain, she's just tapping on my head, and she's just singing songs away, how wonderful this is, how much fun it is for me. That was an Advent moment of joy. Forget the car. I actually got a better car than that one that I was driving, which was really, really good. Forget the rain. Look for the joy. Hold on to the joy. Jesus, the God of all joy, was walking right alongside of us there that afternoon. Next, we reclaim our joy from a melancholy world by understanding that Holy Scripture is, yes, defiant. Maybe you've never seen Scripture in that kind of way. What do I mean by this? The inspired and the infallible Word of God works chiefly in two ways, both as prediction and as proclamation. Yes, it's predictive all throughout. Scripture points to times and seasons and persons like you and I that will fulfill His purposes for us in our lives, be that Adam, Noah, Abraham, Deborah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Hosea, Anna, Simeon. But the Scripture also functions as proclamation. Doesn't Isaiah 9:6 proclaim, "For unto us a child is born"? Yes, Scripture is at work in our lives to radically defy the stupid, silly messages of this world that would tear us apart, bring us down, or cause us to give up on the notion that God cares. God cares. I enjoyed a Charles Schulz Peanuts cartoon that showed Snoopy sliding along a frozen pond on his little bear pawpaws. He's just out there. He's sliding around. He's having a great time. He's got this huge Snoopy smile on his face. He's got his little skull cap on his head, and he's just sliding around. And Lucy walks up, and she slides out onto the pond with her skates on. And Snoopy does this little twirl, and he twirls right up on in front of her, and she says to him, "That's not skating. That's sliding." And he just stands there and he looks up at her as she goes on with her lecture to him. "You don't have any skates on, Snoopy. Skating is when you have skates on, I want you to know. You're not skating at all. You're just sliding." And then Snoopy finally walks off the ice with his little feet to the side and he says, "How could I have been so stupid? I thought that I was having fun." "It is out of Bethlehem that I proclaim to you, not Iowa, not New Hampshire, not South Carolina. Micah prophesied, will come a leader who will shepherd my people Israel. Will you receive his shepherding in your life? Will you receive Psalm 72:11? May all kings bow down before him. Will you receive Isaiah 7:14? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel. God is with us. Will you receive Isaiah 11:1? A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from the roots, a branch who will bear much fruit. Will you receive Hosea 11:1? When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt have I called my son. Scripture defies the darkness and encourages us to embrace, go on, embrace the newborn king. Lastly, reclaiming joy in a melancholy world mandates that we also reclaim worship. Any kind of worship will not do, my friends. It must be the worship of the newborn babe, Jesus. The text says there in verse 10, they, the wise men, they did what? They worshiped him. They worshiped him. The text is clear. They came into Jerusalem and Bethlehem to pay him homage. They worship him. Can you hear how joy and worship go hand in hand together? I know of some people who say, "I can be joyful without worshiping Jesus." No, you can't. No, you can't. Worship is the highest expression of joy. It is what God has given to us as a people to be in his presence and to touch his divine hem and utter the joy that always leads one to worship him and him alone. So reclaim your joy, my friends. Follow as God guides you, just as God guided those wise men. Don't just hear the scriptures, but believe them as truth. And when you find him, do as they did, worship him and experience the joy that only he can give. Amen.